Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The New Rules of Marketing and PR, 8th edition. How to Use Content Marketing, Podcasting, Social Media, AI, Live Video, and Newsjacking to Reach Buyers Directly. By David Meerman Scott. Narrated by Stephen Bowlby. With introduction narrated by David Meerman Scott.
Introduction. A few years ago, I was considering buying a new surfboard. I've been mainly riding an 8-foot Spider Right over the past several years, and I wanted to get a smaller board. In an article in Surfer magazine, I read about a trend back to wooden surfboards, so I thought I'd do a little research on wood as an option for my next purchase. Like billions of other consumers, I headed over to Google to start my research. I entered the phrase wooden surfboard. Then I followed the link at the top search result to Grain Surfboards at grainsurfboards.com. I was not disappointed. The Grain Surfboard site drew me in immediately with beautiful images of the boards and excellent descriptions of how the company makes them. No wonder Grain Surfboards has the top search result for the most important phrase in their business. I learned that while surfboards were originally made of solid wood 100 or more years ago in Hawaii, for the past 60 years, machine-made materials such as polyurethane or polystyrene foam have all but replaced wood. After all, wood is heavier and harder to work with. However, along came Grain Surfboards. The company pioneered the idea of applying boat-building techniques to make a hollow wooden board that is light, beautiful, and eco-friendly. The Grain Surfboard site wasn't just talking up their products, it was educating me about the history of my sport. The lessons didn't stop with history. In fact, the company details its building process on the web for all to see. The idea of sharing your best ideas is foreign to many marketers and entrepreneurs because people don't want their competitors to understand their business. Yet the more you educate a consumer, the more likely they are to buy. Along the way, I learned that at Grain Surfboards, you can buy a build-it-yourself wooden surfboard kit that has everything you need, including detailed plans. I also learned that the company conducts classes most months in its main workshop and also has a traveling course held recently in California. If building your own board doesn't appeal to you, you can have the artisans at Grain Surfboards craft one for you. Grain Surfboards perfectly illustrates a different way of doing business, the very method we will discuss in this book. Grain Surfboards understands that when you share your work on the web, you spread your ideas and grow your business as a result. Throughout, we'll discuss how to create content that educates and informs, just like Grain Surfboards does. As I was poking around the site, I found my way to the Grain Surfboards Facebook page with 13,000 followers and the Grain Surfboards Instagram feed with 50,000 followers. Grain Surfboards engages with fans and shares what's new. Because fans are excited to be engaged, they naturally help spread the company's ideas without even being asked. On Instagram, for example, Grain Surfboards posts get hundreds of likes and many comments and shares. The team regularly posts images of the boards they are building, of customer-created work, and, of course, images of surfing enthusiasts shredding atop the company's gorgeous boards. In this book, you'll learn how to use tools like Instagram and Facebook in your business, too. Social networking platforms are easy, fun, and powerful to use. It just takes a minute or two to shoot a photo, manipulate it with the filters, and share it with your network. With Instagram, images and videos do the talking, so even writing-challenged people can create awesome content. In about 10 minutes of research on the Grain Surfboard site, as well as their Facebook and Instagram feeds, I made up my mind to purchase one of their boards. But I did more than that. I signed up for the 4-day class on building a wooden surfboard held at the factory in York, Maine. When I read this description, I couldn't refuse this empowering opportunity. 4 days in, beautiful board out. You'll get right down to it in this 4-day class, beginning on day one with a board that has pre-installed by us frames, chine, and one rail strip. You'll pair up with another student to build the rails of your board in the morning and your classmates that afternoon. Spend the remaining 3 days completing, shaping, and sanding your board. It's fast, but it's fun, and in only 4 days, you've got a shaped and sanded board ready for glass. Sign me up! It was a fantastic experience building my own board. Many others share my enthusiasm, and they tell the story of their grain surfboards workshop via the company's Facebook page. These posts further spread the word about the brand. My story? 4 days to a beautiful 6-foot-4-inch Wary fish model board, which I left behind to be finished with a fiberglass coating. When I went back to pick it up, I signed up for a second course to build yet another board. The company has me hooked. Grain Surfboards has built a thriving business and become number one in its marketplace, and the online content is a primary reason for its success. The company doesn't resort to paying for expensive ads in surfing magazines. It doesn't focus on trying to get retailers to carry its product. Instead, it reaches potential buyers directly at the precise moment those buyers are looking for what it sells. I did a search on Google for wooden surfboard. Less than a half hour later, I had my credit card out to book an out-of-state class that cost more than $1,000. Had it not been for the Grain Surfboard's content-rich website, beautiful images, detailed process information, and happy customer showcase, I would have quickly clicked away to check out other manufacturers. Instead, I spent thousands of dollars rewarding a company that had treated me with respect and invited me into the wooden surfboard world. The web provides tremendous opportunities to reach buyers directly, and you will learn how to harness that power. What was science fiction just a few years ago is common, even expected today. Take a moment to acknowledge how incredible it is that you can instantly create a video stream using that small device in your pocket and connect to a service like Facebook Live, Instagram, or TikTok to reach thousands of interested people who pay attention to what you are broadcasting. Or you can have a two-way video conversation with a potential customer on the other side of the planet for free. Your mobile device is much more powerful than what the creators of the Jetsons imagined decades ago. Each of us has the ability to reach almost any human on the planet in real time. You can publish content, a blog post, video, infographic, photo, to reach potential customers who will be eager to do business with you. There used to be only 3 ways to get noticed. Buy expensive advertising, beg the mainstream media to tell your story for you, or hire a huge sales staff to bug people individually about your products. Now we have a better option: publishing interesting content on the web, content that your buyers want to consume. The tools of the marketing and PR trade have changed. The skills that worked offline to help you buy or beg or bug your way into opportunity are the skills of interruption and coercion. Online success comes from thinking like a journalist and publishing amazing content that will brand you as an organization or person it would be a pleasure to do business with. You are in charge of your own success. The New Rules. At the height of the dot-com boom, I was vice president of marketing at NewsEdge Corporation, a NASDAQ-traded online news distributor with more than $70 million in annual revenue. My multi-million dollar marketing budget included tens of thousands of dollars per month for a public relations agency, hundreds of thousands of dollars per year in print advertising and glossy brochures, and expensive participation at a dozen trade shows per year. My team put these things on our marketing to-do list, worked like hell to execute, and paid the big bucks for all of it because that's what marketing and PR people did. These efforts made us feel good because we were doing something, but the programs were not producing significant, measurable results. We were working based on the rules of the past. At the same time, drawing on experience I had gained in my previous position as Asia Marketing Director for the online division of Knight Ridder, then one of the largest newspaper and electronic information companies in the world, my team and I quietly created content-based marketing and PR programs on the web. Against the advice of PR agency professionals we had on retainer, who insisted that press releases were only for the press, we wrote and sent dozens of releases ourselves. Each time we sent a release, it appeared on online services such as Yahoo and resulted in sales leads. Even though our advertising agency told us not to put the valuable information somewhere where competitors could steal it, we created a monthly newsletter called The Edge about the exploding world of digital news. We made it freely available on the homepage of our website because it generated interest from the buyers, media, and analysts. Way back in the 1990s, when web marketing and PR were in their infancy, my team and I ignored the old rules, drawing instead on my online publishing experience, and created a marketing strategy using content to reach buyers directly on the web. The homegrown programs we created at virtually no cost consistently generated more interest from qualified buyers, the media, and analysts, and resulted in more sales than the big bucks programs that the so-called professionals were running for us. People we never heard of were finding us through search engines. We had discovered a better way to reach buyers. In 2002, after NewsEdge was sold to the Thomson Corporation, now Thomson Reuters, I started my own business to refine my ideas and teach others through writing, speaking at conferences, and conducting seminars for corporate groups. The objective in all this work was to help others reach buyers directly with web content. Since then, many new forms of online media have burst onto the scene, including social networks like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Pinterest, plus blogs, podcasts, video, and virtual communities. But what all the new web tools and techniques have in common is they are the best way to communicate directly with your marketplace. This book contains much more than just my own ideas, because I blogged the book section by section as I wrote the first edition. As I have worked on revisions, including this 8th edition, I've continued to blog the stories that appear here. Thousands of you have followed along, and many have contributed to the writing process by offering suggestions through comments on my blog, via Twitter, and by email. Thank you for contributing your ideas, and thank you for arguing with me when I got off track. Your enthusiasm has made the book much better than it would have been if I had written in isolation. The web has changed not only the rules of marketing and PR, but also the template for business books. The New Rules of Marketing and PR is an interesting example. My online content, including the ebook and my blog, led me directly to a print book deal. Other publishers would have freaked out if an author wanted to put parts of his book online for free to solicit ideas. The people at John Wiley & Sons encouraged it, so my thanks go out to them as well. Life with the New Rules. The New Rules of Marketing and PR has sold remarkably well since the initial release in June 2007. The first edition made the Business Week bestseller list for multiple months. Since then, the revised editions have remained a top title for well more than a decade among thousands of books about marketing and public relations. Want to know the amazing thing? I didn't spend a single penny advertising or promoting it. Here's what I did do when I launched the first edition. I offered advance copies to approximately 130 important bloggers. I sent out nearly 20 news releases. You'll read later in the book about news releases as a tool to reach buyers directly. and my publisher alerted contacts in the media. That's it. Thousands of bloggers have written about the book over the years. Thank you all. Significantly driving its sales. And the mainstream media have found me as a result of this blogger interest. The Wall Street Journal called several times for interviews that landed me quotes in the paper because the journalists had first read about my ideas online. I've appeared on international and local television and radio, including MSNBC, Fox Business, and NPR. I've been interviewed on hundreds of podcasts. Magazine and newspaper reporters email me all the time to get quotes for their stories. How do they find me? Online, of course, and it doesn't cost me a single penny. I'm not telling you all of this to brag about my book sales or my media appearances. I'm telling you to show you how well the ideas work and to assure you that you can achieve a similar result in your business. But the coolest part of my life since the book was published isn't that I took advantage of the new rules of marketing and PR, nor that this book has been selling like hotcakes as a result. No, the coolest part of my life right now is that people like you contact me every day to say that the ideas have transformed their businesses and changed their lives. Really, that's the sort of language people use. They write just to thank me for putting the ideas into a book so that they could tap into the new realities of marketing and PR. Take Jody. He sent me an email to tell me that the book had an unexpected effect on him and his wife. Jody explained that, to them, the really exciting and hopeful idea is that they can actually use their genuine voices online. They've left behind the hype-inflated PR speak their agencies had used so tediously. Jim wrote to tell me, more powerful than saying I read your book twice, I used it to innovate a new writing model. I've been building my audience from scratch on LinkedIn ahead of publication of my first novel, and I've now got over 70,000 subscribers. Jorge, who lives in Portugal, commented on LinkedIn that it was because of this book that I started blogging. It took me one entire day to do my first blog post. Now I use content marketing on a regular basis, and all of my business comes from Mr. Google. Thanks, David, and thanks, New Rules, and Mr. Google. Andrew left a comment on my blog. David, your book so inspired me, I decided to start a brand new business launching shortly, based around the principles you espouse. You cogently expressed many of the things that I've been grappling with myself. So your book has certainly changed one life. Mark said, I took your advice back in 2006 and started a blog. If you Google fix sales problems, you will find 42 million listings, and I am number one in the world. Thanks again for the advice years ago, and I forced myself to do it, and I'm glad I did. Julie, who is a senior executive at a PR firm, handed out copies to all 75 of her staff members. Mike wrote to say that his company takes advantage of all the trends and techniques described in the book. He purchased a bunch of copies to share with everyone in his organization. Larry bought copies for all the members of his professional association. Robin, who works for a company that offers public relations services, purchased 300 copies for clients. People approach me at conferences asking me to sign wonderfully dog-eared, coffee-stained, post-it-noted copies of the book. Sometimes they tell me some funny secrets, too. Kathy, who works in PR, said that if everyone read it, she would be out of a job. David told me he used what he learned to find a new job. While all this incredible feedback is personally flattering, I am most grateful that my ideas have empowered people to find their own voices and tell their own stories online. How cool is that? Now let me disclose a secret of my own. As I was writing the first edition of this book, I was a bit unsure of the global applicability of the new rules. Sure, I'd found a number of anecdotal stories about online marketing, blogging, and social networking outside North America, but I couldn't help but wonder at the time. Are organizations of all kinds reaching their buyers directly with web content written in languages other than English and for cultures other than my own? I quickly learned that the answer is a resounding yes. About 25% of the book's English language sales have come from outside the United States. And as I read this, the book has been or is being translated into more than 29 other languages, including Bulgarian, Finnish, Korean, Vietnamese, Serbian, and Turkish. I'm also receiving invitations from all over the world to speak about the new rules. I've traveled for talks to Bulgaria, Sweden, Saudi Arabia, India, Japan, the United Kingdom, Spain, Estonia, Latvia, Turkey, Egypt, Italy, Croatia, the Netherlands, Austria, New Zealand, Malaysia, Trinidad, Colombia, and the Dominican Republic. So I can say with certainty that the ideas do resonate worldwide. We are indeed witnessing a global phenomenon. What's new? This 8th edition of the book builds on the completely revised 7th edition with the most extensive rewrite of the new rules of marketing and PR so far. Since the 7th edition was published in mid-2020, we've experienced the global COVID-19 pandemic, affecting organizations around the world in profound ways. Many schools canceled their in-person classroom teaching. Businesses that relied on in-person sales meetings with potential customers suddenly had to pivot. Live music and theater, as well as corporate events and the conferences organized by business associations, were postponed or canceled. What did all of these organizations do instead? In a world where we could not meet one another face-to-face, the kind of online marketing that I talk about in this book has become even more essential. Individuals and organizations got a crash course in the need to engage with their existing and potential customers online. And many of those who already understood the ideas in this book did very well in their new online-only environment, pivoting quickly or doubling down on what was already working for them online. When you can't market and sell face-to-face, creating valuable content and publishing it online works especially well. Many organizations also shifted from in-person to virtual events, and in this new edition, I share ideas for how you can host your own. I've added examples of success amid COVID-19's new normal in the early 2020s. For example, you will meet Russell Alexander, founder and senior partner at Russell Alexander Collaborative Family Lawyers in Ontario, Canada. He created the COVID-19 and Divorce Information Center, a free resource to educate people about the implications of the pandemic for family law in Canada. This effort resulted in dozens of stories quoting Alexander in newspapers and magazines, as well as appearances on television and radio shows. All this organic exposure helped generate so much new business that his firm had to hire 5 new lawyers at a time when many similar firms were scaling back or even closing. In this new edition, I have checked every story, fact, and figure. But I've also listened. In the past decade, I've met thousands of people like you, people who have shared their stories with me. I have drawn from these experiences and included many new examples of success. For those of you who have read earlier editions, you will find many fresh ideas. I've made other significant additions as well. The tools of marketing and public relations are constantly evolving. Consider this. When I wrote the first edition of the book, Twitter didn't even exist, and Facebook was available only to students. Now Twitter is an essential tool of marketing, and as of March 31, 2021, Facebook had 2.85 billion monthly active users around the world. And those are just 2 examples. In this edition, I've added a new section about the rise in popularity of social audio apps such as Clubhouse. And given the increased importance of online video as part of a marketing and PR strategy, I've expanded the relevant sections of the book as well. Here's another example of how the ideas in this book have become mainstream. I first wrote about newsjacking, the art and science of injecting your ideas into a breaking news story to generate tons of media coverage, get sales leads, and grow business, back in 2011. I'm honored and grateful that because of people like you who learned about my pioneering ideas around newsjacking in previous editions of this book, the concept has become incredibly popular. In fact, Oxford Dictionaries listed newsjacking in the Oxford English Dictionary in 2017 and named it to the short list of contenders for Word of the Year. In their announcement, Oxford Dictionaries said, "In the space of just a few short years, newsjacking has gone from an experimental technique to a staple in every social media-savvy marketing department's arsenal. Brands from across industry sectors fully embraced the strategy this year, increasingly taking advantage of current events not only to push their brand into the public consciousness, but to align themselves with certain ethical or moral positions." Blending news and hijacking, the word itself dates back to the 1970s with reference to the theft of newspapers in order to sell them to scrap dealers. Its contemporary iteration, however, dates from the early 21st century as first popularized by marketing and sales strategist David Meerman Scott. You will learn about newsjacking in Chapter 20, where I have added several new examples in this edition of the book. I used my scalpel to cut stories and concepts that I felt were no longer appropriate, including an entire chapter on viral marketing that was in previous editions. With the tremendous rise of social media, newsjacking, and real-time connections between people around the world, the fact that information travels quickly and grows in reach is an aspect of many ideas in various chapters in this book. The idea no longer needs its own chapter. Finally, this edition includes an expanded chapter on artificial intelligence, AI, and machine learning. I introduced the chapter on AI in the previous edition of the book, and since then the use of AI in marketing and public relations has become a much more important way to automate routine tasks to save time and money, as well as to increase the success of marketing initiatives. The chapter explores ways that AI can help marketers, such as analyzing which blog or email newsletter topics have the greatest chance of getting seen and shared, the best ways to write headlines for maximum exposure, the best time and day to post it, which channels are the best to share it on, and what hashtags are appropriate to use. As you consider AI in your organization, think about the routine tasks that drive business value that might be possible to automate. Even if you're not using AI yet, you need to know what's possible in this perhaps fastest changing aspect of marketing. Writing like on a blog, but in a book. Because the lines between marketing and PR have blurred so much that the distinction is now virtually unrecognizable, the best online media choice is often not as obvious as it was in the old days. I had to organize the book by chapters for the various tools, including blogs, video, social networking, and so on. The truth is, all of these techniques intersect and complement one another. These online media are evolving rapidly, and by the time you hear these words, I'll no doubt have come across new techniques that I'll wish I could have put in the 8th edition. Still, I believe that the fundamentals are important, which is why Chapter 8, where you'll start to develop your own marketing and PR plan, is steeped in practical, common-sense thinking. The book is organized into three parts. Part 1 is a rigorous overview of how the web has changed the rules of marketing and PR. Part 2 introduces and provides details about each of the various media. Part 3 contains detailed how-to information and an action plan to help you put the new rules to work in your organization. While I think this sequence is the most logical way to present these ideas, there's no reason why you shouldn't flip from chapter to chapter in any order that you please. Unlike a mystery novel.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?